want to bring on one of our political analysts and my longtime good friend, Dr. John Green from the University of Akron with us. And John, the news came down yesterday, but were you surprised that that word came down yesterday?
Well, actually, I was, Ray. I was very surprised at the way it was announced and on the particular day. But having said that, of course, President Biden was under enormous pressure to withdraw. I thought he might hang on, though, for a few more days, maybe a week or so, hoping, you know, perhaps, you know, against hope that he'd be able to hang on, because it was very clear to me that he would like to continue his campaign. But he apparently over the weekend came to the conclusion that was not the best way forward for his party or for the country, because really a lot of important players in the Democratic Party had lost confidence in his ability to beat Donald Trump. And, you know, in the end of the day, that's what parties are about, right? They're about winning elections and governing. So the particular circumstances did surprise me. I was kind of shocked, actually. But, you know, if you look at the broader pattern, perhaps something like this was inevitable.
It's interesting, too, John, and you and I talked after the debate. This whole chatter starting the night of the debate really was a groundswell. And when you look, and I'll let you expand here, when you look at President Biden's performance as President of the United States, certainly there's a lot of good things and there's some bad things, but it wasn't necessarily his performance of the last 3 years as President of the United States. It was the debate and the party looking forward to if they can defeat Donald Trump with that performance from the debate.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the things that some of my colleagues say about Joe Biden is that he's been a very good public official. That doesn't mean that everybody always agrees with him, but he was a good senator, a good vice president, and a good president in terms of governing. But that, you know, he always was not the best politician, right? He's not the best in debates, the best on the stump. And, you know, some questions have been raised about him for a while now, you know, with his aging and so forth. You know, could he really perform those political functions? And I think one of the things that happened in that debate was that one of the great arguments for Joe Biden, which was that he could beat Donald Trump, in fact, he did beat Donald Trump in 2020, was no longer cogent to a lot of people because of that stumbling performance in the debate. It wasn't just a bad night, right? It was a performance that seemed to undermine a lot of people's expectations in his party and, of course, amongst some swing voters as well. And then, of course, he tried really hard with interviews and speeches and so forth to recover from that. But then he was under the microscope, right? So every misstatement, every gaffe was just magnified. And then, of course, last week, the Republicans had a terrific convention. That just put a great big exclamation point on the political problems that his party saw with the Biden candidacy.
With us is Dr. John Green, professor of political science at the University of Akron. And that leads us to immediately after the announcement that President Biden is stepping out of the running, literally within the hour, he endorses Kamala Harris. Now, the dollars already that were leaving the Biden camp are going back in now to the Kamala Harris camp. And those dollars that were already donated will switch over to that point. But talk about that decision by President Biden and really the groundswell that we saw out of the rest of yesterday for support for her. Now, she doesn't have the endorsement, of course. She doesn't even have a delegate yet. But a lot in that party really want her to be that person.
You know, it's interesting. And last week, when, you know, the whole debate about whether Biden should withdraw or not was intensifying, there did seem to be a development among many Democrats and other observers that Kamala Harris, the vice president, was the natural successor to Biden. You know, partly for practical reasons, you talked about fundraising. Were she to be the nominee, she would have access to all the funds, the fundraising networks, the whole infrastructure that the Biden-Harris campaign had developed up to this point, which frankly is impressive. But also, she's sort of the natural successor. And so I thought it was really interesting that President Biden went ahead and endorsed her, because there was already a developing consensus. So it's like you had two directions of opinion. One was, you know, Biden really needs to withdraw. But the other is, we really do have an alternative candidate here that we can turn to. Now, the interesting question is, can they make that happen? Because they're in uncharted waters right now. This has never happened before. And how do you, you're going to have a convention. What rules are you going to use? Are you going to have more than one candidate? These are really important questions. And there's some real risk here for the Democrats that they'll, you know, create some dissension that will end up hurting whoever the ultimate nominee turns out to be.
Yeah, and John, let's go down that road a little bit. When you talk about Kamala Harris, it does make sense that she's the nominee. But in your opinion, in that political arena, can she win against the former president? How good of a candidate is she?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I think that at the moment, there's a lot of excitement among Democrats because they don't have to talk about Joe Biden anymore and, you know, some of his problems, and they have a new person to talk about in a very positive way. And I think she does bring some real strength. She's younger. She's female. She's a minority. There's a real opportunity to pull the Democratic Party back together because a lot of the important leaders and groups see, you know, powerful and impressive things in her. And, you know, on the other hand, she's never been a particularly good candidate herself, and she's not very particularly popular. And then there are a bunch of issues that have been bedeviling the Biden administration, such as inflation and the border and international relations, which she will have to deal with. And it's part of the campaign. And, you know, that'll be a real challenge, for anybody, but I think it'll be a real challenge for her, too. So I don't get a sense that there's strong opposition to her among Democrats. In fact, if anything, people are rallying around her. But there are a lot of skeptics. There are people who are wondering, well, would she really be the best nominee? Or look at our bench. We've got all kinds of other people out there where you could have a complete clean break with the Biden administration, a completely new face. So anyway, we'll see how that works out. But I think all those kinds of questions are being asked right now.
We broke some color barriers, right, John, with President Barack Obama going back 16 years ago, being elected as president of the United States. There are even more barriers now. She's the first African-American vice president, first Asian-American vice president. She's also a female running for the president of the United States. But it's also, wouldn't you agree, John, it's a different United States now than it was 12, 16 years ago. There is more hatred. There's more separation going on in this country. I think that's going to be interesting to watch this whole storyline.
I think it really is. I mean, I think the presidency of Barack Obama, partly because of his efforts and his successes, but partly just because of other changes that were going on in our society, you know, marked a big shift. And there's some really positive things in this shift. Mm-hmm. You know, there are kinds of prejudice that used to be common that aren't so common anymore. On the other hand, we found a new series of things to argue about. And just to pick one example, abortion has reappeared on the national agenda in a really big way. And, you know, in some states, that helps the Republicans. In other states, it really helps the Democrats. And so here's an opportunity, you know, for both parties, really, to exploit a very divisive issue. And that just plays into the polarization that you're talking about. So it's a different world, and people are going to look at these candidacies, whether it's, you know, the resurgent Donald Trump or a potential Harris candidacy or maybe some other Democratic leader, with a different perspective than back in 2008 or 2012.
The international storyline to this is going to be interesting as well, John. And I look at former President Donald Trump, who's trying to become president again. When he was in the Oval Office, what he did internationally, from tariffs to kind of taking away some agreements that were in before. And then, of course, President Joe Biden, one of his expertises, one of his areas of strength, was international politics. And when you look at Kamala Harris, she has very little of that. That's going to be a big factor in how those two see international politics and how that game will play out for the rest of this campaign.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, of course, it's not as if international relations is calm right now. You know, we have a couple of major wars going on. There's issues with trade, with the environment, you know, big issues of immigration, not just in this country, but in Europe and in other parts of the world as well. And, you know, I do think that when history looks back at the Biden administration, they're going to give him some really positive evaluations for the way that he was able to use the international system to cope with these problems, many of them unanticipated when he was elected back in 2020. You know, going forward, if the choice is somebody else, they're not likely to have the kind of expertise Joe Biden had. So there's going to be some really big shoes to fill there. And that's one of the things that people are going to debate first in the Democratic Party and then in the country as a whole.
With us is Dr. John Green, professor of political science, University of Akron on WAKR. John, let's go to the Trump camp. I don't want to use the word scrambling, but they're certainly changing as of yesterday afternoon and the way they're approaching this campaign. Give us some insight on how you feel they are feeling, maybe some words that you've seen coming out of their camp and how they need to redirect some of their liners and some of their words in this campaign with Kamala Harris now on the threshold of being the nominee.
You know, as I mentioned earlier, I think the Republicans had a very good convention last week. They managed to pull their party together. I think they've got a good organization. And, you know, they were able to highlight their candidates. And of course, they have a new vice presidential nominee, J.D. Vance from Ohio, who's attracting, you know, some attention. I think most of it at this point positive, but there was an underlying current at the convention. Clearly, many of the Republicans there wanted to run against Joe Biden. They thought they had this figured out. But they were also aware that people on the other side understood that, and all this pressure for Biden to withdraw was building. And so there was this undercurrent. You know, are we really using our resources effectively here? Because we may need to turn our attacks to another candidate. And I think some of the deep thinkers in the Republican Party were sort of a step ahead on that. But you're right, they're scrambling now. So they've got to change their strategies because, and they don't even really know who the candidate will be, right? It may very well be that it'll be Vice President Harris, but it might be somebody else. And, you know, campaigns are a lot about risk and uncertainty. And the more risky and the more uncertain they become, the more difficult it is to run a good campaign. So, you know, this is not necessarily, the withdrawal of Joe Biden is not necessarily good news for the Republican strategy.
All right, John, great insight, my friend. We will reconnect on this story as it continues to unfold. Thanks for joining me this morning. Always appreciate the time.
You're welcome. Have a good day, Ray.